Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. It's great to have you with us for our first service. We want to welcome everybody else joining us by television and our other campuses. Great to have you with us. Father, today I thank you that your word changes us. Your word brings life. That, Father, your Son continued to declare the scriptures even when dealing with the enemy. Help us today to rise up, to learn, to grow. And, Father, let everything that takes place at Springs change our lives and prepare us for the next chapter. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You have a next chapter in your life. Whether or not you walk it out, it's up to you. It's not up to God. There is more. There is greater. There is phenomenal things ahead of you. That's how God has designed you. That is how God has designed your life. That is how he has prepared the paths ahead of you. Whether or not you walk in them will be totally up to you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 in the Amplified says there that God made you and he has prepared paths ahead of time that you should walk in them. And so when you meet a group of people, when you come to a church where everybody is focused on leadership and Jesus and following him and fulfilling what God's doing in their lives, there's something that is completely different than just doing church. And so today I want to talk to you about the battle cry of believers, which is praise. Praise, the battle cry of believers. All through history, fighting men went to war, singing, chanting, declaring how amazing they were, how much they're going to take you out. Study the Romans, study the fighting tribes of Africa, to have them coming over the hill, beating their shields, boom, 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 and declaring they're going to win, singing, chanting. It was an awe-inspiring thing. They said that when some of the Roman legions came into battle against you, that they would stomp their feet so hard and hit their drums so hard, their shields so hard, that it would shake, that you could feel the vibrations of 100,000, 200,000, hundreds of thousands of men just singing in that deep, whoa, we're going to win. And even today, if you talk to most military groups from Russia to America to Canada, they have fighting songs. There's chants that they declare. And sometimes we forget as a people of God that, yes, when you begin to study grace and you realize all that God has done for us, that we can rest in him. That doesn't mean we do nothing. Doesn't mean we just sit around just saying, well, I hope whatever God does, let God be, you know, whatever he's going to be. But we need to recognize. And so there are a multiplicity of stories from both the Old Testament and the New that show us that to move your life into a realm of supernatural power, that it requires your faith in God's grace. But what do you do through a period of nothing happening? What do you do when you've done all? And Ephesians 6 says, stand. What does that mean? Some of the hardest times of my life haven't actually been the attacks as much as it has been the standing and believing when seeing nothing. One of the hardest things to do is to believe for something you cannot see, you cannot feel, that you've never seen in your life before, but there's a chapter ahead, there's a miracle ahead, there's something ahead of you that you're believing God for, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whether it is just something within you, whether it's healing. To stand and believe in the face of all physical evidence that says, ha-ha, is something that's going to require you to praise him. And if you forget to praise him, you will find that the fears, the things that push at you, you're going to struggle with them. This is actually part two of a message I already did one message on called Praise, the Battle Cry. I want to encourage you to go to YouTube or to go to our church app, and you'll see part one there. But I want to re-preach it all the time, and I can't. I want to just continue to move on into what I want to talk about today. When you look at some of the incredible stories the Bible has, we talked about Paul and Silas. God led them to a city, told them to go in there and to preach. And when they went, it says that they were whipped, beaten, thrown in jail, in the deepest jail. Their hands and their feet were put into stocks. And I can imagine, you know, Paul was the leader. So have you ever followed somebody that made mistakes and it just ticked you off? Can you imagine Silas sitting beside Paul, who Paul heard from God? Yeah, we're going to go to this city. Rawr. They're in the city, they get caught, they get whipped, they get beaten. Remember, when you get a whipping and a beating back then, it wasn't a couple of black eyes, you know, and a broken nose. That's nothing. Back then, when they whipped, she was 39 lashes where it cut your back open and they could kill you. They would beat your bottom of your feet till all the little bones in your feet were busted up. You'd be crippled for life, or at least walking with limps. To be beaten back then wasn't like we talk about today, a bar fight. It was brutal. It would kill you. They're so beaten up. They are so bruised. They're now in stocks. And it says at midnight, they begin to sing praises. When I took the Bible in school, they said that I had to take it with Greek mythology as though the Bible was a myth. And every miracle, they'd always have an explanation for this one, an earthquake happened. And the earthquake shook the foundations of the jail, all the doors popped open, but what they forgot was that all the stocks came off, which means the handcuffs and the feet cuffs that are all screwed together. There's just no way an earthquake's gonna go individually through every prisoner and take their stocks, their feet out of the stocks. There's something about praise. We talked about in the Old Testament how they would God said, put the praise and the worshipers in the front of the battle. And watch me. And there wasn't a sword lifted. There wasn't an arrow fired. It doesn't mean they didn't in other battles. There's many times that God flows through you. There's other times you've got to be so worshiping and praising Him that things just begin to happen. And so praise. Psalms 100, it talks about entering His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Praise His name, for the Lord is good. It doesn't say enter His presence with your whining, your requests, all your issues, your negative attitudes, your complaints about your brother, your sister, your health, your finances. It says come into His presence with singing. Come into His presence rejoicing. Come in there declaring, boasting on your God. This is the war cry, because it is faith without works is dead. Praising Him, boasting on God is works with your faith. Praising Him, boasting on God is actually a part of renewing your mind that some people never do. They just think more information is going to renew their mind, and they've forgotten that there's a faith aspect to the renewing of your mind that says, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a victor. I'm going to get up. I'm going to win. So that was a quick rehash of last message, but I want to share with you some of the things that praising Him does. Okay, so, and I'm going to go quickly, so get a hold of this, or if you're taking notes, take notes. But in Psalms 34, 1 to 7, did you know that praise removes your fear? Did you know that praising God actually activates the angels around you? Let me show you this in Psalms 34. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Today, fears are a huge issue. This modern society, with all of its teaching and all of its psychology, psychiatry, and everything else, is the most fear-stricken society we've ever had. Every drug that is ever needed to deal with mood disorders and fear issues is like 80 to 90% of them are in America and Canada, and the rest of the world not there. What is going on? Why is there so much fear? I believe that we've gotten so in our head that we've got all these degrees, we've got all these things that we're doing. We know how to, do phenomenal opera. They can take a baby right out of the womb, operate on it, and put it back in. Medicine has increased. They know how to put people on the moon. They're sending satellites out into deep space to shoot other solar systems. And then it's incredible how They're brilliant in so many linear areas, but in the area of simply dealing with your own fears and making relationships work and getting up and living a life filled with joy and having belly laughs instead of the stress so bad that you literally are trying to do something in your cave mentality to watch enough TV, play enough golf, take enough drugs, do something to self-anesthetize to get rid of the fear. And it says here that when we praise Him, He delivers us from all the fears that are pushing at us. That spirit of fear is not something we should have. There should not be this stress. There should not be this grumpiness. There should not be this worry, this concern, this ongoing where your brain is continually grabbing things because there's no spirit of faith. It's a spirit of fear. We've lost this praising Him that the early church did, that the Old Testament did. Every chapter in Psalms is literally David, the king of Israel, saying, praise Him, exalt Him, boast on Him. These are all words that deal with how you can set your mind free from the fears. What is fear? It's a believing in a negative future. Praise removes the fear. It goes on to say, they looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, deliver them. Right in this chapter, as we talk about praise, as we talk about rejoicing, boasting, it says the angels encamp around these people. This is talking about a warfare. This word encamping here is meaning warring angels encamp around those who live in faith. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise, we know, stops any enemy you have from defeating you. Cancer's an enemy. There are people who become your enemies. I know we don't focus on them and take them out, but you need to know there are many strategies that come against you. As business people are going to shut you down and they're going to lie, cheat, they're going to do anything they can. In Christians around this world, like in Syria and other places where they're going to kill your kids, they're going to attack you, they're going to burn your church. We have enemies, and it's not just the enemy as far as Satan. He literally will use people to shut down countries. He'll use people to take over schools. He'll use people with an assignment to get into Canadian schools and lead them into a place of controlling their kids, etc., etc. There's wars on today. One of the things we must do as believers is praise Him, and it defeats the enemy. And any person, any strategy, anything that is coming against us, coming against you, Psalms 35:18-22 says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. You know what? You're going to see a massive difference at Springs Church when the 20-minute singing time becomes a 20-minute battle cry. Well, I can't wait for that. Oh, you won't see it. You have to be it. Yeah, I'd love to see that. How are you going to get them to lead us in that? You can't. They got to choose to say, hit the rhythm, you know, start the drum, get that piano intro. And all of a sudden, the entire place just, wah, as we boast and praise and sing about the greatness of our God. He says, I'm going to give you thanks in the great congregation. I'm going to praise you amongst many people. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me, David says, and said, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. But this thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. There is something about David. David sings a lot about his enemies, talks a lot about his enemies, talks a lot about people coming against him, trying to take him out. Everything from Philistines to demonic, everything. And he'd always say, God, and he would praise Him. And I love the different terms that go with praising God. You know, we tend to think that singing is about me. I'm going to sing a tune in the month of June. I'm going to croon. I'm in love with mine. And we're going to, no. Praise is not talking about you. Praise is boasting on God. Praise is exalting God. Praise is declaring His goodness in the land of the living. Praise is declaring He's been there for you in the past, worshiping Him, exalting Him, boasting on Him. This is the kind of singing. And you don't just do it on Sunday, but we need to do it in a whole nother level. But when you go home, there are times where you're going to need to learn to praise Him. Over the years, I've learned to handle stress and heavy burdens. Multiple organizations needing millions of dollars, dealing with volunteers you got to raise up, working with boards and paid staff and volunteers in a world that continually lies about you, attacks you, blogs about you, do anything they can to shut a church down, malign it, talk about it. How many rumors have you heard about the church? I mean, it's just a nonstop thing. Paul says, I carry the burden of the churches. It doesn't mean he was burdened down. It just means he knew what it was to continue to lead and make decisions. What are we going to do here? We need buildings. We need lands. We need money. New city. Television stations. This person's crying out. We got to make sure we teach the sick. We got to make sure we reach the poor. How are we going to take people and raise them up to the next chapter of their life? All of these things and a thousand more things are the details that we continually meet as a church and decide, how can we reach Canada? How can we touch this world? And I found out the only way to handle it was to be a person that praised and worshiped God. Remember when I first came to Springs, 1994, church almost bankrupt. Church that was struggling. I remember preaching on Sundays and then dealing with the aftermath of what had been going on in the church in the years past and changing staffing and changing the leader, volunteer leaderships, taking people out, which really makes people angry. And there was times, and then Sundays, we would preach and teach and people would grow and things would happen and we began to outgrow facilities. And I remember as a young man not realizing that success has a burden. That success will weigh you down. That just winning increases the decisions you have to make. And I remember at times, twice I ended up in the hospital. They ran me through every blood test, every imaginable test, and finally walked into my room and said, there's nothing wrong with you. I remember my dad walking into the room before he died, looked at me and he says, all right, don't work so hard. He slapped his hand right in the middle of my chest and he prayed so loud, I think they heard up 10 rooms down the hallways. I was instantly healed right there. Bam, got up, restored, invigorated, and began to realize that I had to figure out a way to keep my mind at peace. In the middle of waiting, we need millions of dollars. We need staffing. We need buildings. We got people coming against it. We got people quitting on us over here. They're leaving. They're coming. There's stuff going on. Your brain can get so attached to all this stuff. So I began to go into that little sanctuary over in 479 St. Mary's Road, and I'd sit at the piano, and I'd just start to worship him. The staff who were on staff would remember that just if the doors are closed, you don't go in there. All they'd hear is me just praying in the Spirit, singing songs, walking down the aisles, just declaring and boasting on God that all our needs are met, that nothing's going to stop the purposes of our God, that Springs is something God has birthed. It's Jesus' church, and I'm under authority. I'm not the chief shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd, and he's going to see us through, and he's going to pay the bills, and he's going to bring in the leaders, and he's going to cause what God needs to happen. Today, as we go through stuff with all the things that are going on around the world and locally, often staff will talk to me about things and sometimes I can tell they wished I was more concerned. There's times where God will sit on that one. I'll talk about it later. Oh, I think we should make this decision. Nah, I don't feel like making it right now. I'm going to wait. I just found that in your patience possess your souls. I just found there are times you move quickly and there are times you go, I ain't touching that. Let it go. Let's see what happens. And I know that God is there. There's something about praise, about worship, about trusting him, that the chapters of your life, every chapter that is ahead of you, people often say this, new level, new devil. That's baloney. The devil's not new. He hasn't had a renewed thought in his mind. He's got the same knowledge today he had thousands of years ago. He's never developed. He's a created angel, one being. He's an angel. That's it. No, the issue is for every level of your life, you have to develop a greater capacity. You've got to develop this AQ, this adversity quotient. You've got to become more intelligent. You've got to learn new skills. You've got to trust God in new ways. When I was a single man, I loved to trust God. I could trust my God for myself. I remember walking the worst streets with my dad and going into some of the roughest areas. They said, do not go there. We'd go in there and we'd just begin to sing and praise and witness. But my wife came along, I didn't know if I wanted to take her in there. You know, and then I had to begin to believe God for faith for me and her. And we'd begin to minister together. And she came with me to some of these toughest places, street corners, witnessing, handing out tracts. My dad loved doing street services. We'd go into the craziest corners with a couple of guitars and sing so loud they could hear us in the bars. They'd come out fighting mad. We'd share with them. Sally'd be there, singing with me, you know, strong. Then we got kids coming along. Now, not only do we got to believe God for a marriage, but I want these kids to rise up and know God and grow in God and become leaders and have a passion for Jesus Christ for themselves, because I'm not always going to be here for their lives. And so your faith for every chapter, and then, as you know, taking over a church, and then the church going to sites, and then television, and whatever God is in your life. The chapters that are ahead of you require you to praise Him and to handle stress and to get up and praise is a part. Now, I'm not today going to talk about management, leadership. I don't need to talk about systems and structures. I teach about that a lot. Today, I just want to say, you better find time every day and praise Him, because if you don't, even though you're succeeding, a great friend of mine's got an amazing ministry. One day, he got to whining. He said, God, my wife doesn't understand this, and my kids are doing that, and in this church, we need buildings over here, and Father, the mission, and he's going on and on and on, and he just heard God say, well, which of my blessings don't you want anymore? Wife, children, church, house, cabin, finances, holidays. You know, it's all a blessing, but it's also how you're going to handle it. You're going to rejoice, or are you going to just, you know, curl in a ball and suck your thumb at the first opportunity? When you praise God, Psalms 40, He brings success into your life. His grace is sufficient for you. In Psalms 41-3, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and He heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. There's got to be somebody here today, if not a bunch of you, that feel like you're in the pit of something. Your relationship, the pits. Your finances might be the pits. Everything you worked for in your entire life might be right now in the pit of hell, causing more hurt and heartache, and you're believing God to take you out. It could be, who knows, it could be your health that's in the pit, and you're going, I'm a Christian, I'm believing God, I never thought I'd ever have this thing, this disease, this stuff pushing at me, and you feel like you're in this pit, and there's no way that it can't get any worse than this, and how do I get out of this thing? Here's what David would say. He'd say, I waited patiently for the Lord. There's times waiting's got to be done in faith. And He inclined unto me and He heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock. Established my goings. There's nothing worse than feeling like you are in a current of a crazy river and not a thing you can do. There's nothing to hang on to. There's nowhere to swim. You are at the mercy. Sometimes life will take you through a season where your feet are not anchored. You don't even know where you're going next. What's going to happen tomorrow? You have no idea. And this horrible feeling of being out of control begins to harass you. And David knew what that feeling was. Look at the stories of all the mistakes he made and all the things that were going wrong. And he would talk about this, and many times we sing about it today. He set my feet on a rock. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you, when you're drowning, everybody here has probably had at least a close call drowning. You're gulping some water, and you go, you know, you start going kind of these little laryngeal spasms when the water hits the back, you're like, and you're trying to swim and you don't know how to swim, and all of a sudden you get your foot in the shallows and you push it up. That's an incredible feeling. That feeling financially, that feeling relationally, that feeling with whatever's ahead of you, you want your feet on a rock. Your stability in life is your feet. Anybody here that's in martial arts, anybody here that's in that policing or security, or, you know, the ushers we've taught to do 3-point takedowns, you know, but don't get off your feet. Keep your feet established. This is the, you know, your feet is what anchors you. And he's like, I got my feet on a rock. And then he says, and he put a new song in my mouth. Guys, why are you so cool that women can praise and worship God, but you come in here and just kind of go, and you feel uncomfortable at the emotions of worship. But now, let's take you into the Winnipeg Jet Arena. You got your shirt off, you got your belly painted blue, and you're belly bopping the guy beside you while you're drinking your Coke and your beer in another hand. What in the world? You can celebrate a hockey puck hitting a net, a little piece of rubber? You can't celebrate the God that gives you life and has got your future in his hands if you'll give it to him? You can't even praise him? Praising God keeps you thirsty. This is vital. This is important. Over the years of watching people come and go in Springs, it's amazing to me that God started this ministry for us to grow together and for that bottom line to move out. I don't mean financially, I mean just the baseline to get bigger and bigger, and he's doing miraculous things. But it's still probably half of every person that walks into this church and miraculously gets healed physically, marriage restored, business begins to rise up into prosperity. Once things start going good, no wonder God warns us all through the Bible, when things are going good, don't you forget me. When prosperity comes to your world, you remember who gave it to you. When that miracle comes and heals your physical body, you remember who healed you and then serve him. But oh no, people are amazing at pursuing their own things, pursuing their own doings. And here we got to understand that praising God keeps you thirsty for him. You know, we know this one well in Psalms 42, 1-4, where it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, God. My soul thirsts for God. Now, someone right now is going, I don't know what that is. Yeah. Because praise and worship, it gets you into a place of magnifying him. God doesn't show up better. He's always been. You get sensitized to him. You begin to magnify him. You begin to realize. And so there's something about praising him that the Bible teaches us, that we begin to desire him. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where's your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a holy day. There's something about you getting into a life-giving church, and there's something about a praise and worship team that gets up and knows God. I don't ask them to lead in song service. I ask them to lead us in worship. I don't ask them just to get up there and make sure everything's perfect. As far as we want great music, what I want is hearts that worship. I want a congregation that says, hey, let's worship God. Let's declare. Let's boast on him. Let's declare his greatness and his goodness, because every one of us are believing him for something. Nobody, if you're not believing God for anything, you're a plateaued dude and of no use. I got an edge today, sorry. Praising God keeps you mentally healthy. Psalms 43, 4-5. It says, there will I go unto the altar of God, unto God with my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I'm going to praise him, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Have you ever had your head disquieted? It's not quiet. It's fear. It's worry. It's stuff. It's emotions. It's up. It's down. You can call it hormone. You can call it anything you want, but it's disquieted. And it says, "And for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance." That's talking about mental health. The health of my all of your emotions flow from your face. There are so many muscles that are displaying every emotion you have that there's experts on reading it. And they're saying there's so many micro expressions that experts can just read your face and know whether you're lying, talking, depressed, happy, you can't fake it. The Bible's saying, praise him. Take charge of your mood. Take charge. Deal with that depression. Now, I'm not saying there's not physical reasons. We got postpartum depression. We've got brain chemicals that need to be worked. So that's not what I'm saying. I'm just talking about praise today. If you're not praising him, there's one spiritual, soulish side to our lives that needs to be dealt with him. Yet I shall praise him, David says, and he's going to be the health of my countenance. When you begin to praise God, when you begin to boast about God, that is when the intervention from the spirit to the physical takes place, is in praise. Paul and Silas didn't get a miracle at 10 o'clock. They didn't get a miracle at 9 o'clock. They didn't get a miracle at 7 o'clock. They didn't get a miracle at 11:45. They got a miracle at midnight. And at midnight, they started singing praises unto him, worshiping him, declaring his goodness, boasting in their God. There's something about praise. Now, there's different ways to praise. It just might be you just getting up and saying, God, I love you and I praise you, and you're my reason and I love you and I'm boasting on you. You might be able to sing. Praise is a multifaceted thing, but it's this boasting. It's got to be done out loud. You can't say, well, I'm praising on the inside. Psalms 44, and our time has passed, so let's finish up. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. You know, there's such a temptation as I continue in my role to think I've learned all these systems, all these structures, all these business principles, and I'm glad I have, and I am teaching it every person I can meet, but I do not put my trust in them because I know what it's like to be left flapping in the wind with my abilities and no grace on your life. I know what it's like to have all these abilities but no favor. And then I know what it's like to have door after door just begin to open up and you don't even know which one to take because God's grace is all over you and his favor is flowing in every direction. We always remember, yes, train your mind, train your body, learn the skills. We want to make sure whatever area you're working in, become the best at it. But never trust in the arm of flesh. Remember that it is God. Because then he says, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long. Where are you right now in your life? Have you gotten so discouraged that your new motto, your new role is, well, let's just be happy with wherever. The Bible says to be content. Now, that didn't mean stop growing. Well, Leon, you're talking about prosperity. I'm content. You're the kind of person I'm trying to reach. Be content with your present expenditures. Go make 100 times more and give it away to the Church of Jesus Christ, and let's go through more doors. It's not about you. Whatever area that you're looking ahead, God's given you skills, given you abilities. He's placed within you. You know, a human being cannot stay plateaued. That is when you get into sin. That's when you get into trouble. That's when you get depressed. That's when things go bad because you were designed to never stop growing, never stop increasing. You know, you weren't designed to have a utopia. When we get to heaven, there's going to be something that changes on the inside of us. But if you ever just sit on a beach and do nothing, you get into trouble. If your life ever just plateaus and has no purpose but pleasure, you're going to get messed up. I'm not against retirement from your job. But I'm just saying, if you have no purpose in life, you're going to get empty. You're going to be looking for newer pleasures and bigger pleasures. And everyone needs purpose. You know, the Bible is this dichotomy that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It says, rejoice, be happy, sing. Then it's got other verses that go, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking around. So you got these two things. Which is it? It's both. It's both. Learn to rejoice. We don't have to walk around looking like we've been sucking on lemons. Life is serious. No one's going to follow you to Jesus. Let there be a joy in your heart. Let there be a smile on your face. Let there be a dance in your step. Embrace every day your marriage, your family, your home, your church. Learn to get up and smile and rejoice in the face of an onslaught of an enemy. But then at the same time, there is this, when you say sober, it's talking about, don't get into such a, they call it a party faction in the King James, where it's, yeah, who cares what's going, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, nothing I can do about it. Let's party. It's talking about that attitude. No, there's lots I can do about it. But even while I'm doing it, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to sing his praise. I'm going to make sure that I show my kids how to have fun in our marriage and date nights and all that goes on. There's both that are there. Rejoice. Merry heart will keep you healthy. And while you're doing that, make sure that you recognize you need a purpose. Young men and women today in the emerging generations, doesn't matter who does the studies, they want purpose. They want purpose. They're not, they've recognized prosperity and all that. And that's why right now in university, we're going back towards socialism, communism. Why? Because they think everything should be fair and everyone's going to be okay. And let's be a church that rejoices. Let's be a church that praises him. I'm challenging you next Sunday when you come here. I don't care who's around you. Start tonight at home, but when you hit the service, David says, when I'm in the congregation, I sing, I boast, I praise. Let's change the very atmosphere of even our services. So every person that walks in here senses a war cry, not a singing time. Oh, it's a great singing time. No. This is the war cry coming out of the hearts that are saying, God, I need you this week. God, you're going to see me through. You're going to heal my body. You're going to touch my business. You're going to restore my joy. You're going to stop my enemies. You're going to do something in my world. This is a faith response when we praise him. Father, I pray you touch every person today. I pray that whatever they're going through, whatever they're believing you for, whatever they've given up on, whatever they've got some kind of a biblical new doctrine to just kind of hang in there when you said we can be more than overcomers. I pray that you stir them up today. I pray that something powerful takes place today on the inside of them that's going to cause them to do things differently tomorrow. Father, touch them, I pray. With every head bowed for just a moment, I want to lead you in the most powerful prayer I know, the prayer of a human being getting right with God. A prayer that was never available for thousands of years. But when Jesus died, something new came into existence. A way to be forgiven. A way to be in his family. A way to be born again. I'm going to lead you in that prayer right from your seat. All over this auditorium. For those who are watching right now at the other sites, there's a leader at the front of that stage waiting for your hand. And you need to do something. I know that you can pray this prayer on your own, but there's something about being in the midst of the congregation, something about being together in God's house, that there's just something powerful takes place. If you want to be included, just lift your hands towards that leader at the front right now. All across this auditorium, if you say, Leon, include me in that prayer. Today I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you. Others, just keep giving me a quick wave and put it right back down, saying, yes, include me. Thank you. Thank you. Others. Thank you. Beautiful. Just wait 3 more seconds. In our other campus, just wave right now at the pastor, that leader at the front. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask everyone to pray with us as people make a decision for the rest of their lives, for eternity. He goes like this. Say, dear God, I give you my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me for everything. From today and on, I'm following you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.